Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What is it that you would like from him?
For him to, like, spend some of his time off of video games and spend some quality time with me. Majority of the time, he doesn't want to play, like, games that I'm willing to play. So it's kind of like trying to get interested in his hobby and finding things I enjoy in his hobby just so, like, they'll be put on the back burner.
Tabby?
Hello, I'm here.
Tabby, how are you?
I'm good. I'm surprised I got through. How are you doing?
Tabby, it says here that your fiancé spends more time playing video games than he spends with you. Is this true?
Yeah, so he does, and he's always played video games, like, ever since I've known him, and my dad, and I've always grown up around video games, and I do have a PC, so I can play with him, but sometimes, well, majority of the time, he doesn't want to play, like, games that I'm willing to play, so it's kind of like, I feel like I compromise, like, trying to get interested in his hobby and finding things I enjoy in his hobby just to, like, still be put on the back burner. So it can be frustrating sometimes.
So what is it that you would like from him?
For him to, like, spend some of his time off of video games and spend some quality time with me. I feel like a lot of men, and I don't mean to generalize, but a lot of people just find, like, peace, like, being in the same room or, like, the same place as, like, their significant other, but that's not necessarily, in my eyes, like, spending quality time. Mm-hmm. So, like, sometimes I just, like, even if it's just, like, watching a movie, which I guess in a way is kind of not the same thing, but it kind of is. I don't know really what, like, he's not a talkative person and I am, and that's fine. I can talk for the both of us, but maybe it'd be nice to, like, go on a walk or to go shopping or go to dinner, or, like, we don't even have to spend money. I just, sometimes I wish we could, like, walk away from the video games.
So, all right. Have you told him everything that you just, you just told me?
Yeah. And that's where it really comes from. Where he says he likes to, like, just, like, have each other's company. And that's, like, where I feel like being in the same room or the same house isn't necessarily, like, hanging out with each other. So, and he has a twin brother, and I'm a twin too, but me and my twin are very different, where him and his twin are very much the same, where they both are, like, nonstop video games, and so, like, they, like, encourage each other, and that's a way for them to bond. And I don't.
Well, I feel like
them.
Well, I know you keep bringing up video games, but and let's hear armchair therapy here. Video games are just, like, they're not the thing itself, right? I mean, he's looking for something else inside of the video games, whether it's, like, you know, he just wants to be alone. He just wants, like, you know, he spends time with you, and, you know, this, he prefers the, like, hey, let's be in the same room and exist together, and that's enough, and you want the quality time. It's like, he obviously wants something that the video games are giving him, right? I mean, first of all, do you agree with that? And second of all, if you do agree with that, what do you think that thing is?
That could be it. He is a police officer, so he has a very stressful job. So I feel like it's kind of his escape from, like, real life and from, like, the stresses that work brings him, if that makes sense. So maybe that's what it is. Like, he deals with people all day, every day. So maybe he wants time away from people, but I wish that I wasn't like a part of that group.
Mm.
And it might not be that personal, but it sometimes it's hard to not take personal.
Mm. Okay, so have you told him that?
That it's hard to not take... I feel like I'm very open with my feelings with him. But mm-hmm. I feel like he gets, like, defensive or, like, he feels bad for, like, 2 seconds. And so that's why sometimes, like, I understand, like, that's what he wants to do. And I try to, like, play with him and stuff. But, yeah, I don't know what a good compromise is. Because I feel like I've tried and it's hard to, like, get him to try without it, like, being a big thing. So sometimes I just leave it be because I just would rather not fight about it or be annoying or whatever.
You know, dude, it's really hard because, you know, it's hard when we're talking about relationship stuff because I'm very strong on the whole, like, trying to accept shit that you can't control, right? And doing the best with what you can control. And relationships are a tricky one because you can't, other people are like at the tippy top of the category of things you can't control. So like you fucking can't make your fiance do anything. You can't make him put more effort into, you know, your guys' relationship. You can't make him get off the video games. You can't make him do anything. All you really can do is what it seems like you have done, which is communicate as openly and truthfully as possible how you're feeling to him. And then from there, you know, the onus is on him to, you know, make his decision as to how much work he wants to put into this thing, you know. But it's hard for your situation. It's hard for your situation. This is why relationship shit is so hard, because you can't you can't control other people or make other people do things. And I don't know. I don't know how to reckon with that, to be honest with you.
Right. I mean, it only really got like this, like when we like started living with each other, like. We didn't live with each other. It was like, you know, we weren't together all the time. But then again, I work first shift and he works second shift. So a lot of times, like, he can stay up all night to play video games while I'm asleep. And so, yeah, I know. There's not really much to do. But I guess, I don't know. I try, but I just hope that maybe he can grow out of it. Not necessarily video games. He could be doing way, like, worse things and be out being crazy and stuff, and I appreciate that he's not, but it is nice to have like one-on-one attention sometimes. And I don't mean to sound needy or like immature about it, but I feel like quality time is important in a relationship, at least when that everyone has different love languages though, so there's that too.
No, I don't think you're I don't like the idea of like no I don't think you sound needy or immature. And by the way, even if like be like, even the concept of neediness is like, even if you were needy by like anybody's what a definition of whatever that means, it's like that's your truth. This is you openly examining, and this is a great thing to do. What you're doing is you're looking inside, you're openly examining what you want from people, right? And it's you're only 22 years old.
Yeah, I'm 22. I'll be 23 on the 30th.
Okay. I mean, so, like, this is, like, a good thing to be doing, what you're doing, which is deciding, doing, you're, like, being introspective, figuring out what you want, what you need from the people in your life, right?
Yeah.
You're not like, being too needy, and you're figuring out your needs from the people who decide to engage with you romantically, your friendships, even your working relationships. You know, you're figuring out what works the best for you. And that's a very valuable thing to do. And I think that's a great thing to do, in light of the fact that we can't control what other people do, but we can kind of figure out what we want from them and communicate it to them. And after that, the onus is on them to do whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, that's very true. Thank you for validating my feelings. I guess that, if anything, feels nice to know that I'm not, like, being ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, we get married at, in October, and I don't regret any of that because I do love him, and we have grown a lot together. I met him right out of high school, so I feel like we've grown a lot together, and I know him, and, yeah, there could be worse issues. For sure, but he just started having weekends off, so hopefully maybe that will help having like 2 days off back-to-back together instead of him being off during the week or whatever, because I'm off the weekends as well.
Well, all I would say to you is this, is, you know, clearly you're pretty introspective person. You know what you want, or you're at least like putting in the effort to figure it out. Keep doing that. Don't be afraid to do some software updates every now and then. Check in. You know, think about how you're feeling with shit. Think about if your standards, you know, what they are they being met?
Right.
You know. So don't stop doing that as things progress.
Yeah, I won't. Thank you. Appreciate it.
For sure. Thanks for calling, Tabby.
Have a good night.
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by BarkBox. Shopping for humans is hard, but shopping for your dog is easy thanks to BarkBox. Your dog deserves to be spoiled, and BarkBox sends your dog a whole new collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month. Whether it's fun-themed plush toys from BarkBox or ultra-tough toys for ultra-tough dogs from Super Chewer, they can give your dog exactly what they want. I've got a golden retriever back home named Sophie that I'll send BarkBoxes to every month, and I am always getting texts from my mom about how much Sophie loves her new toys and treats, and I get pretty cute pictures of her playing with the toys. For a limited time, BarkBox will double your first box for free. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/gecko. Sign up now at BarkBox.com/gecko for this exclusive offer. This ad is now over. So let's get back to petting our dogs.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds, and you can make entries on the NBA, the NHL, and college basketball. PrizePicks was able to graciously set me up with an account for myself, which I used to make some picks for the NBA, and I made a little bit of extra money, which I, of course, put safely away into government bonds to prepare for my future. Just kidding, I spent it on candy. Download the PrizePicks app today and use the code GECKO for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code GECKO for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
How's your life going, Tori? Is it Victoria or Tori?
Oh, no. No one calls me Tori. This is Victoria.
Victoria, what are you doing right now?
Well, I'm, like, high, sitting in my boyfriend's room.
How high are you?
I took, two bowls earlier, so I'm pretty high.
Is that enough for you, or are you considering a third anytime soon?
Or am I what? I'm sorry.
Victoria, it says here you grew up thinking that your dad was not alive, but then you recently found out that he is alive and he lives 4 hours away from you. Is this correct?
Yes.
Tell me about this. How did you, what was the original story?
Okay. I guess I can sum this up in basically my mom tried to hide that me and my brothers had different dads and that, she basically, she wanted to keep it a secret since it like made her look bad and that she didn't want to admit like she was, I guess, failed as a good mother. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Why did it make her look bad?
Because we got, me and my two brothers were surrendered to CPS. And basically when we got adopted, she didn't want him to interfere with me or my parents' lives. We basically grew up thinking that the guy she had married and named my brother after was our actual father when it wasn't. And he had, like, died of cancer when we were about, like, 6.
So the story was that your dad died of cancer when he was 6? Or the person that you thought was your dad died of cancer when you were 6?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yes to which one?
She made us believe that he was our father when he actually wasn't.
Okay. And that guy is gone.
Yeah.
But your actual father.
Mm-hmm.
You found out lives 4 hours away from you. Have you gone to see him since you found out? Answer this question first. How did you find out that he lived 4 hours away from you?
I went to go visit my mom nearby. She was also 4 hours away. They live in the same city. I'm from Texas, by the way. But when I went to go visit her, she told me that... Oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm not saying anything.
Okay. Well, basically, she admitted and confessed everything, even though my grandma didn't want her to say anything.
And have you gone to see your father since finding out that he lives 4 hours away from you?
Yes. Well, actually, he's came to me. He actually has his own family and still wanted to try to be a part of my life, which is actually, pretty kind of him, I guess.
And how do you feel about him coming back to try to be part of your life?
At first, I was surprised, but after a while, I kind of became indifferent because, you know, like I would go throughout my day and forget that, oh, my actual birth dad or dad is alive. So not that, I guess, life-changing.
Interesting. So you kind of have gotten used to the idea of not having a father that when one finally came, you were like, it sounds like you're in sort of a, I could take her or leave it position.
I don't know. Like my life is pretty okay. Like, when I got adopted, I was like about 11 years old, you know, went to college, still wound up with a basic ass job. Like, It's not terrible, but it's not great either. But, you know, he honestly does try his best. Sometimes he'll message me or I'll message him, but there's a language barrier between me and him because he only speaks Spanish, so it just makes things even harder. Yeah.
He only speaks Spanish.
He seems like a decent guy, though, from what I could tell.
So does he... doesn't speak a lick of English. Like, well, do you speak any Spanglish? Do you speak any Spanish?
Oh, no. I had two.
How do you guys talk?
Parents. Actually, mostly through his wife. His wife speaks both. She's bilingual, English and Spanish. And, like, I'll call her, and then she'll tell him, well, like, what I'm saying, kind of being, like, the translator. But, and when we met the first time, it was, like, at IHOP, and, like, he would talk to his wife, and then she would tell me what he was saying, and that he actually said that he had been trying to try to find me, but couldn't because my birth mom wouldn't let him talk to me or my adopted parents.
Hmm. And how do you feel about is your birth mother still alive?
Yes.
Is she in your life?
About the same as much as he is. You know, it's all basically through text.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about the fact that your birth mother tried to stop him from coming to see you? Does that upset you at all?
I don't feel like a certain type of anger. I used to, but not anymore since, you know, it's just what it is now. I think that she's not very apologetic about it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So
are you planning on learning any Spanish to talk to your birth father?
You know what? I have not. I am pretty unmotivated to do that. But now that you're mentioning it, it does seem like a pretty good idea.
Well, you're in a very interesting position because, I mean, let's see, you're 23. You have a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You have hobbies, you know, getting high. So you're like a whole person already. So you're sort of past the point. I mean, you're at the point at 23 where you are where, like, even if your birth parents were in your life, all the time in your life that you would have had spent with them is, like, mostly over by the time you're 23. Because by the time you're 23, you're usually, you know, moved out and, you know, you don't live with your parents anymore. So it's like, you know, you're kind of past a certain point, you know. I mean, you're at a point where, like, even if you grew up with your parents, it's like you have to sort of make an effort to keep up the relationship with them, you know. But it sounds like you're already sort of have a thing going on, right? That's why I said it feels like a take it or leave it situation. I don't know if this is accurate. I'm just thinking alongside you.
No, you know what? It's also funny that you mentioned that because I have a hard time even, you know, texting and calling my own parents, and they live like 40 minutes away from me. Mm-hmm. I'm trying harder to keep up with other people, even though, you know, when you work a lot and you come home and you basically just go to bed, I don't see my parents a lot. My mom will complain about that, but I tell her, you could also visit me. You know, like, it's a two-way street. But
you have so you said you were adopted when you were 11, and so you have a mom and a dad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's funny because it's like, you know, it's hard enough to keep up with. It's as you get older, and you know, you got your boyfriend, you got the job, you got you already have a set of parents that you got to keep in touch with. That's a whole thing. And then here comes a new dad. It's like, even if you wanted to, it's like you only have so much time to give to the people in your life, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm also, you know, I'm kind of getting to the point where I don't want to just hang out with my boyfriend all the time. Like, I want, like, actual friends and, you know, to do shit with. But, you know, all I do is just work and go home, you know, get high and go to bed. Like, my life is so boring. But Even with that, it's like I don't have that many responsibilities. I guess, you know, I could try to fit some time to at least,
you know, tell him hi or, you know, like, what are they up to? Because he also has, like, two older boys and then two girls. One of them is about, like, 6 years old, but they're super, super, like, welcoming and kind to me. They got me a Snorlax plushie at, like, freaking Funtrax. It was really sweet. It was a good memory.
Okay, so you're not just having your so it's not just your dad that's coming back into your life. It's like this whole gang of people that's making an entrance.
Exactly.
It's your dad and then your five. What do you call that? Because it's not a half sibling and it's not a step sibling. What do you refer to those people as? Your bro? What's the title?
Well, they call me, you know, like sister and whatnot, but like we're really not that close. But I consider them like my half siblings, and you know, it's funny because me and my other two brothers, we're not even fully blood related. They actually have different dads, and they recently found out about that too. Especially my other brother, he's like 20, and he just found out that his dad was actually another person that had passed away. So, I don't know. My mom was kind of crazy.
That's a whole slew of dads. That's a lot of dads. It's
yes.
A solid handful of dads. So I guess if this guy, you call him your birth dad, then I guess you could call him the birth siblings. The birth siblings, do they speak? Are they bilingual or are they also totally Spanish?
You know, I feel like they probably know both, but I've only ever heard them like speak a little bit of Spanish when I've been around them. We've only seen each other probably like twice. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, but when you went to see him for the first time, did he bring, because he said he came to you, did he bring all the siblings with him as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all like try to fit in a booth, but like there's like, you know, like eight people. It was a lot, honestly.
I was about to say that sounds like a lot. Like, it'd be one thing if it's just your dad, but it's like your dad and also five other kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like it's an ambush right there.
It goes crazy. Whenever I first met his wife, she came off as like really, hi, how are you? You know, so it was like nice that I didn't have to do all the talking. I'm not a very social person. So it took a lot off my shoulders. So basically it was like the moms talking to each other for like most of it. But, you know, I was able to, you know, hug, I guess, my birth dad for the first time. So, you know, that was a whole nother thing.
So, I mean,
I figured out why I'm so hairy. Sorry.
You finally figured out what?
I'm like way hairier than like any of my brothers. And I figured out that that's actually why, because my dad is like real Mexican.
Oh, okay. So you're coming to epiphanies. You're learning about yourself. And where your hairy genes come from.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, Victoria, before we go, I mean, do you tell us before we go, you know, where your head is leaning next? Do you anticipate that you will continue to foster your relationship with these people? Or are they kind of, you know, as you have all of this other stuff going on in your life, going to have to take you know, a back seat?
Well, it's not going to be like one of my main priorities, but I will try to further relationship along, because he actually sent me some like relief funds, because I was close to being like homeless for a little bit. But I think I will at least try to get to know him better. Maybe learn a little Spanish. But,
learn a little Spanish, make a little money. It's a good gig.
Yeah, I was just wanted to say I really do enjoy watching your show, and it's nice that to see you care about other people.
Hey, thank you very much, Victoria. I appreciate you sharing.
Okay, well, I'll see you.
That was Victoria. Yeah, it's hard. I feel like because when you're 20, I was reading this article that said something like if you were to like sum up all the in-person time that you spend with your parents over the course of your entire life, right? That all the in-person time that you're going to spend with your parents over the course of your entire life, by the time you're Victoria's age, by the time you're 23, something like 90 or even 95% of that time is already gone. So at that point, it's like, you know, the way that she was describing it, like, I'll try to keep the relationship going when I can. It's like, well, that's how it has to be, even with your birth parents, you know, at that age. So I find that to be an interesting predicament. Someone said, Gek, how tall are you? I'm 5'6". I'm actually 5'6". Okay, let me just real quick. I'm actually 5'6 and a half. I used to tell people that I was 5'7". I used to round up. And now, I round down. Because I feel like it's closer to the truth. I'm probably closer to like 5'6.4 than I am to 5'6.5. So I'll round down. Because these are the cards that I was given. I used to be uncomfortable about being short. Used to be uncomfortable about it. I know there's a lot of people self-conscious. I know we live in a society that values, being a taller male. Well, I'm telling you, listen, if you're a short king out there, I'm telling you, you gotta embrace it. You gotta embrace your cards, homie. You were dealt a hand. Some people didn't even get dealt a hand. Some people just, they were cum, and then that's it. They just lived and died as cum. But you're a whole person. It's an honor to be any height at all.
Picture this. You're on a John Deere compact tractor, enjoying the sun as you clear brush across your pasture. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello there.
Oh, hello. Hello.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How about you?
Really? You said that like the first time you said it. What happened just now is you said, I'm feeling great as like a gut reaction. And then you double checked. You're like, oh, I just said that as my gut reaction. Let me look at it and make sure it's true. And then you looked at it and you're like, you know what? I actually am feeling great.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, that's, no, that's happened, exactly right? What happened.
That's exactly what happened. So yeah, you're telling absolutely the truth right now. You feel great.
I am. I'm telling the truth. Completely honest.
Why do you feel so great? Could you peg it to anything? Or is it just an ethereal
thing? Well, you know, just here talking to you. And, you know, I went to the gym earlier today and that made me feel good. But, mm-hmm. You know, I'm just feeling good. Feeling good.
Well, what is your name or what can I call you? You don't have to give me a real name. You can give me a number. I'm gonna call you Five.
Yeah.
You took too long to answer. You took too long to answer. Five.
Right, five.
Five. Is there anything in particular you called in to talk about today?
Right. Okay. So I joined a fraternity, and I did it because I don't really understand men a lot. They're really confusing to me. But I'm a man.
Sure.
I was born, assigned male at birth, and that's what I am. But I just, you know, I've never really understood men. I always had a lot of female friends. I was raised by a very extremely progressive mother. And now I'm kind of at this point where I don't really like men. So I joined this fraternity to try to figure them out. And it has kind of just ended up with me kind of figuring them out and then realizing that I still don't really like them. And so I'm in this really weird spot where now I'm in a fraternity and I'm a treasurer. I'm one of like the head positions, but like, I just don't really like, I still don't really like men. So I've gotten myself into this odd predicament.
Why don't you like men?
I mean, to be honest, they're normally just raised badly. But just the way that men don't really like check themselves, like what they're saying, and like their impact on other people is just so self-centered. And it just gets really confusing. And I don't know how like sensitive it is, but like men are really horny, and they just talk about it all the time. And like, I don't, it's not something I really feel comfortable talking about, but it always comes up whenever I'm like hanging out with like male friends, if I do that, you know?
So I'm curious, and you know, look, we can go into as shallow or as deep of detail in this regard as you're comfortable with or willing to go. Do you how do you feel about being a man?
I'm pretty comfortable being a dude. You know, I just be chilling as an entity in this world. You know, nothing really else to do but exist. You know.
Okay, and I mean, okay, so you joined this fraternity to try to understand men more, and what do you feel like you learned from this endeavor?
I've learned that men are really stubborn, and as much as they preach about life lessons, they really don't want to learn anything. They really like being right. Some weird thing about being right.
So I ask you, as a man, you know, as you're talking and saying all these things about men, are you including yourself in all these things that you're saying?
Yeah. No, absolutely. No.
Okay, I've worked
on myself, but it's,
so we're saying,
I'm not perfect. No one is.
So you're horny. You feel like you're always right. You feel like you're stubborn. I'm not saying these things, but you feel like these are things about you as well.
Oh, absolutely. I just don't talk about it.
Okay. Okay.
Well, except here.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. So are these things that you don't like about yourself? Do you not like, you don't like that you're horny? You don't like that you're stubborn? You don't like that you feel like you're always right?
No, exactly. I really don't like those things about it. And so I read a lot of like self-help books and psychology books, and I work on it, you know, trying to make myself a better person for others and myself, of course.
Interesting. Now, do you have any, I know you said that you have primarily female friends. Do you have a father?
I do. He's a great man. Love him to death.
He's a great guy.
Amazing man.
But how do you reconcile with the fact that your father, and these are your words, okay? What I'm about to say, this is not me, this is you. But you've established in this guy, your father, extremely horny. How do you reconcile with how horny your father is?
Well, I exist, and so does my sister. And, you know, I mean, to an extent, if it were not for that horniness, I suppose I would not exist. So,
okay,
there is a certain thankfulness to be there for it, but, you know, there's a time and place.
Okay. Okay, so you accept horniness as a necessary evil of the universe in which we live?
It truly is. It really is.
Sure. Now, do you, okay, so we know that you have an active disdain towards men. How do you feel about women? Do you have a active love of women?
I mean, they're people. I mean, ideally, okay. I just want to see everybody as just like a person. It's just kind of like, I think labels are kind of weird.
Sure.
You know, just the idea of like labeling all these weird biological things, like it's all made by humans anyway, but
of course.
Anyway, like women, men equal in, you know, just by birth, but some of them just suck more than others in personality, you know?
So, if your goal is to do less of putting people into boxes, do less labeling, by the way, fantastic goal. I have that same goal. It's a good goal to have. Why do you indulge yourself in generalizations of any kind? Because that would seem as though it's against your goal of
right.
removing all of your labeling.
That is true. That is true. But you know, you make a great point. You make a great point. Some labels are necessary, I suppose. You know, the state you're in, the state that's next to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your name. Lots of labels out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But labeling your father as horny is not. We wouldn't say that is entirely necessary. Entirely necessary label.
It is not necessary. No. No. No.
Okay. Okay, you know you're on a good journey. I feel, right? I mean, this is how we want. I feel like this is a good way to want to see the world, is to not label. And I think I'm gonna get a little douchey here. I'm gonna include myself in this. I feel like I myself, everyone, we label people, we label things because the truth of what. Is that every single thing is like infinitely, all things and people are infinitely complex, you know? They're infinitely complex. There's infinite back and forth. There's infinite points and counterpoints. There's infinite everything. And it's not tangible. We cannot wrap our heads around the complexities of every single individual on the planet. That's okay, though. It's okay to admit that.
It is. I mean, it's a lot of data points to consider.
It's a lot of data. It's too much data. It's too much to go through. I mean, that's why we label people, right? Like, like when you see some guy on the street, you know, trip and fall, you can be like, that guy's a fucking idiot. Why wasn't he watching where he's going? But we can't just label this guy off of the 5 minutes of his life that we know about. It's like there's a whole life, you know, but we can't internalize. It's impossible to internalize
right.
that, to add that into our analysis, and so it's easier to label. And I do this. Every single person does it out of convenience and necessity. So, I mean, look, good for you for doing your best to strip yourself of that natural programming and, you know, I guess be a little bit more conscious, maybe is the word. Maybe that's a douchey word. Who knows? We're douching it up. It's a free douche zone. but, Five, is there anything else that, you wanted to talk about today?
Oh, no, not really. You know, I just hope that you have an amazing evening, man.
I appreciate that. I'll try to have an amazing evening.
I'm gonna try your best.
I will. Thank you for calling, Five.
Absolutely.
That call has awakened us all into something that we need to recognize, which is that the fact that we exist means that our father, if you're listening to this, you exist. A leads to B. B, your father, at one point, was extremely horny. Everyone has to reconcile with that. You don't have to go into graphic, imaginative detail about just how horny your father was, but it is necessary for you to accept it. If your goal is to see other people as four-dimensionally as possible, and if you would like to start with the people closest to you, you got to start by imagining a very horny version of your father. And your mother, too. Your mother was also very horny. And it's a love. It's a beautiful thing that your horny, sex-starved... What's the word? Lustful father. And your cum slut of a mom found each other like pieces of a puzzle and created you. Thank God your mother and your father were that horny. Look at you. You're a beautiful miracle of the universe as a result of that horniness. And so we must thank the Lord. For making us all horny. Sophie?
Babe. Hello. Hi.
How are you, Sophie?
I'm doing okay. Pretty good.
Well, I'm a gecko. And we're on the phone. And,
yes.
That's, you know, what are we, where do you think we should go from here?
How's your day been?
Sophie, it says here that your 35-year-old sister, you're concerned about her. Why are you concerned about her?
Okay, so she's always been kind of a deadbeat. Like, she has kids, doesn't care about them, you know? And then she got with this guy, okay? And he is, I'm not sure exactly what is wrong with him, but he does have a history. He robbed a gas station, was in like possession of meth, you know, all that stuff. And nice. They just slowly went downhill. Like, they thought that my dad was working with the FBI against them. They think they're being followed all the time, you know. And let me think. Oh, he thinks he's God. Is like 100% certain. No, he thinks he's the second coming.
He thinks he's the second coming of God.
Yes.
I can. Like 100%. Does she think that he's the second coming of God?
Yes. And like, they've discussed it with my parents. They also told my parents that they own 10% of Google and like 200K in crypto, but they live in an RV, you know.
I don't know. At what point, I almost, you know, when you're telling me this, I'm almost like, at what point do the people living in their own delusions, are they, we just have to admit that they're having like a way better time than we are. You know, maybe they have it right. I'm just saying, maybe they have it right. Maybe.
I was look, glad. And like,
perception, chill. Say that again?
Or I just wish that I could like chill and just believe I was like the second coming. And not have to do anything.
I know. I'm like a little bit jealous of this guy. Because I, no matter what I do, I could say it. I could manifest it. I could think it every single day. But I could not trick myself into thinking I was God. I totally wish I could. I would be way happier if I thought that I was God. And that I had $200,000.
I know. We're all just another person.
There's almost really no difference. There's really no difference between having $200,000 and thinking that you have, being 100% convinced that you have $200,000. It's the same. You experience the reality of having $200,000 the same, whether you have it or whether you're convinced that you do. But I can't convince myself that because... I'm not as creative as this guy.
yeah, that like security of knowing you would have that much money. See, the problem is though, my parents enable them in a way. Like, they send them money. They're like, they're too much of saints. They're like, I don't want to see my daughter on the street, you know? But I'm like, oh, like, you're not, it's not doing anything.
So I was sort of talking to the previous caller about this. I don't know if it was the exact previous, but I was at one point talking to another caller about the whole, like, things that are and are not in your control. And this is a difficult one because, you are 20, it says here, your sister's 35, and,
yes.
It's great that you care about her. I'm sure that you communicate to her that you care about her, but it's hard because it's like, what can you do really to help her with these delusions? Like, you have these good intentions for this person, but at the end of the day, she's got to be the one to pull the trigger on getting out of this thing.
Yeah, well, she just went back to jail briefly for now, so I'm hoping that maybe some time away will give her some thinking time. But she's gonna be back out soon, and it's just gonna be the exact same. But also, I don't care about her that much.
Really, you don't?
Like, she didn't spend any time with me as a child. I didn't even, like, live with her ever. And all she's done is be, like, really awful to me. And then, like, all this. Like, I'm only in communication with her for her children, because I basically raised them at the time. So I'm like, I just want her to go away.
And, well, like, you cared enough to call in and talk about it.
Well, I care about my parents, like, and the fact that, like, they're, because they treat me differently and won't give me, like, anything because they're like, well, we bought Kindle this. We're sending out, like, we don't want you to be her, like, freeloading.
Okay, so you take care, how old are her kids?
Now they're 12 and 8.
Okay. And you take care of them?
No, like, their dad finally, like, or he stepped up a little bit ago and, like, got basically full custody of them now because she never went to court. So they get to live with him now, so it's okay. But, like, at the time, they were, like, kind of floating between them, and they lived in my house.
And when you say your house, is it your parents' house or is it your house?
Oh, yeah. It's my parents' house.
And so are your parents helping take care of them as well?
A little bit. At the time, my dad wasn't ever home. So it was like kind of like me and my mom.
So it's you, your mom, the 12-year-old, and the 8-year-old.
Yeah, my sister. I was pretty young back then. But I did spend like most of the time with just them, like babysitting.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're talking, you said you raised them, but like contemporarily. Right.
Oh,
now,
sorry. I was
point.
Just being very dramatic about my.
Oh, okay. All right. So I mean, at this point, you're not taking care of her kids.
No, but it's like it's just such an ongoing problem, and I'm like, I don't know if I should give up on this pursuit to like explain to my parents, like, because I get mad. I'm like, why did you bail her out of jail after one day? Like, let her think or something. And then they found like drugs in their car, whatever, and they're like, well, we'll just throw them away, we don't want a drug charge. And like, they just continue to support them because they're not working. My parents give them money. So I'm like, why are y'all doing this? But I'm like, should I just let go and let them continue to enable her? Or is like, I guess there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying, it's hard, right? Because there are things that are in your control, there are things that are not in your control. Now, you are in control of, I think, what you communicate to your sister, to your parents, right? So, you know, you can tell your sister how you feel about her, that you care about her, you're there for her, if you are, if that's genuinely how you feel. I don't know if it is. You can tell your parents, you're doing this wrong for this reason, blah, 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 you know, communicate to them your feelings on why they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. You can go all out with that because that's in your control. But once you've gone all out with that, once you've sort of exhausted, that communication, you are correct. I believe that how they choose to treat your sister, what they choose to do, what your sister chooses to do, is indeed outside of your control. And therefore is not, you know, I mean, it seems like you're expending a lot of mental energy on this that ultimately will go nowhere because it's not in your control. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I agree. There's just some hills you can't die on, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you have good intentions. You know, do you have a good relationship with these kids? It seems like you care a lot about these kids.
Yeah, the like older one became like a little mini me for a while, and it was really cute. And then they just like love me a lot, and I love them a lot.
That's great. I mean, again, that's another thing. That's when we're sort of break. Well, okay, so like in this situation, when we're breaking down the various aspects of it that are in your control.
Yeah,
how you choose to foster your relationship with these kids, the amount of effort you choose to put into that relationship. I mean, of course, the amount of effort you choose to put into all these relationships, but the amount of effort you choose to put into these kids, forming a bond with them, that's in your control. You know what I'm saying? So if you were to like sort of channel all of your energy about this situation into the appropriate funnels of it, you might find a greater sense of agency. Does that make sense? Did what I say just make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm asking myself as well, but I'm pretty sure it did.
No, I understand. It's a different mindset.
So if I were you, I would channel all this. It sounds like frustration.
It is. A lot of it.
Yeah, and the frustration comes from the fact that there's nothing you can fucking do because your parents are just going to do what the fuck they're going to do. Your sister's going to do what the fuck she's going to do. And so, yeah, of course, you're frustrated from that. But if you channel that frustration into something that's in your control, such as how you build your relationship with your niece and nephew, you might find, like I said, a greater sense of agency over the situation because you're attacking it at the right points. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I agree. We'll be taking notes right
good.
Now.
Good. Good. Is there anything else you want to say before we disintegrate into dust?
Well, thank you so much. And oh my gosh, I've been so nervous. I've never called in or talked to anyone, you know, like this. But thank you so much. I had a great time.
Thank you for calling, Sophie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I had a pretty good time as well. I'll say it. Not a bad time being a gecko, talking to people on the phone.
Therapy Gecko's on the line, taking your phone calls every night. Therapy Gecko's doing it right, he's teaching you how to live your life, but he's not really an expert.
Spectrum Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.